Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One of these days, I was hoping to come in here and say, okay, this Red Sox team has finally turned that corner. They have officially become the team that we thought that they could be, and I don't have to call them the Summer Celtics anymore, but they continue to prove me right and continue to prove this point here that the Boston Red Sox simply, I don't think, and I've said it all year, I don't think that they're a playoff team. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, it is Red Sox Review. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we'll talk some basketball coming up a little bit later in the program when we flip this thing over to late night. But until then, we'll take your Red Sox phone calls. As frustration, I feel like, is starting to really boil over. And, you know, you've heard some people in and around the organization start to vent their frustration, namely Alex Cora earlier today, saying essentially with some tone in his voice, and it was good to hear the little bit of aggravation in his voice when he said that we need to get better soon. And that is the most obvious statement that I think he's made all season long. And this is why I've called them the Summer Celtics all season long, because this season mirrors what we went through this past winter with the Boston Celtics.
It's awful.
It is eerily similar. You know, these two teams are, they had high payrolls, stars on their team, and everybody continued to wait. The fans continued to wait. The media continued to wait. The players continued to wait for some inevitable magical turnaround that never seemed to happen. It never came for the Celtics. And so far, with this Red Sox team now approaching, what, mid to late July, I think Ryan Hannibal said it best tonight on WEI.com. He says that this team, they are what they are. And that's just not a very good baseball team. And you know, last week I was in here, I was doing 6 to 10, and Bradford came in. He was doing an Awaken 180 commercial. And he decided to hop in and do an hour of radio with myself and Villani because he couldn't understand what I was saying.
That Bradford show!
And he is a star. And now that Jerry has departed the station, I think Bradford is the number one star here at WEI. But I will say this, you know, he came in here and he was all belligerent with me and angry at what I was saying. But my point was one that I think is very simple here. He asked me point blank which team, the Celtics or the Red Sox, is closer to winning a championship. And I said, without even thinking about it, that the Celtics are. Not that the Celtics are close to winning a championship, but because they play in the Eastern Conference in the NBA, they are going to make the playoffs. There is zero doubt that the Boston Celtics will be a playoff team. And right now, there's a worry that this Boston Red Sox team, despite having the highest payroll in all of Major League Baseball, is not going to be a playoff team. And by the way, a prerequisite to, I don't know, winning a championship is making the damn playoffs. So by definition, as of right now, the Celtics are closer to a championship team than the Boston Red Sox. And that's a sin. That is an absolute sin. It is inexcusable. And the question now becomes, are fans at the point where they would be okay with the potential of a rebuild? Would the fans be okay with the potential of trading away Mookie Betts before you get to that point where he has to turn down whatever offer this team makes? Would you talk about trading J.D. Martinez? Is it time to think about trading Rick Porcello and restocking and replenishing your farm system to start to get have some assets in that farm system that you simply don't have right now? Or is this simply another radio host overreacting here to another loss, a disappointing loss, a loss in which, you know, there were expectations going into the game tonight? You'd hope to build on yesterday and get some momentum here. And you got Andrew Kasner making his debut, and he's had a pretty good season. So you think, okay, you win last night, you get Kasner's debut. Let's see if we can get something rolling downhill here. And once again, this Red Sox team seems allergic to getting things going and building that momentum that this team has been so sorely missing all season long. So it is Sports Radio WEEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Red Sox Review. Plenty of room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. And again, you know, this whole idea of the Red Sox not being as good as we thought they were, I feel like it was one thing to have this sort of take in April and in May and in June. But here we are. We're 2 weeks away from August 1st. At what point is it just the point we have to accept that this team is what they are? What they are? They're just not a very good baseball team. They're not good enough to be as consistent as they need to be. They're 10 games back in the AL East again. So every time we've thought that this team has started to get some momentum, every time we thought that this team was starting to get it right, every time we thought that this team, okay, they finally figured it out. What do? They let you down once again. And as a Celtics fan, I just went through 6 months of this stuff. Just went through 6 months of this exact same conversation. I feel like I'm living in my own personal hell having to do this all over again now with the Boston Red Sox. But that's exactly what they are. They're wildly disappointing. They're not living up to expectations. They're not living up to their payroll. And at this stage in the game, unless something magical happens here in the next 2 weeks, this team has to think long and hard about their long-term potential, the long-term future of this baseball team. Because the likelihood is J.D. Martinez isn't going to stick around. He'll take his player option. You know, this team is probably not going to have the ability to re-sign Mookie Betts. So at what point do you say to yourself, you know, the likelihood is not that this team is going to get it together. The likelihood is simply that this team is going to continue to play mediocre baseball. And if you play mediocre baseball and you slide into the playoffs, well, then so be it. You're better than I thought you were, I guess. But do you have any confidence that even if this team was able to slide in to the playoffs, that they can play consistent enough baseball throughout a playoff stretch that repeats them as World Series champions or that even gets them to an ALCS?
It's going to be a fire sale down there.
This team being having the ability to win 3, 4, 5 games in a row or win 4 out of 7, that's been a challenge for this baseball team all season long. Consistency has been a challenge for this team all season long. And at this stage in the game, I'm just throwing my hands up. I've been consistent since day one in my belief that this is simply not a playoff team. And so far, through 50% of the season, I've been proven right on that point. Now, maybe at some point here, things will change. They'll finally get rolling. And I would love nothing more than to come on the radio in the coming weeks and say, you know what? I was wrong. I overreacted. But I waited and I waited and I waited all Celtic season long for that team to turn it around and for that team to finally play up to their expectations, play up to their potential, and play up to their payroll, and they never did. And I feel like I'm falling back into that same trap once again with the Boston Red Sox, and I don't want to do it. I just want to believe what my eyes have told me all season long, and that this team is a flawed baseball team, and that the best thing that this team can do is to play their young guys, trade away their assets at this stage in the game, replenish that farm system, and build out some sort of plan for long-term success. Because right now, it simply isn't happening. So it is Sports Radio WEEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Red Sox Review. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls here on the Red Sox. Is this team a team that you guys consider a team that can make a prolonged playoff push? Is this team worthy of being buyers here as they approach the deadline? Is this a team that you still believe in? Or are you like me and has your faith in the Boston Red Sox really been tried and tested this season to the point where you're almost at the point where you just throw your hands up and you say, you know what, let's be sellers, let's accept that this team simply, they are what they are, and maybe it's time to build for the future instead of hoping for some turnaround that is more than likely not going to happen. So we come back, we'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom, what was your impressions of Darvinson kind of in that new role?
Yeah, that was good. I mean, throws and sliders, good fastball. It's something. It's a spot there that we got to keep the game at two runs because we feel we can score runs. We can do it. Some good fastballs up in the zone. The slider was good in the beginning. He walked a smoke, but then he made some pitches against Dale Oscar, so it was a good first day for him.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora right there talking about Darwinson Hernandez, and that's been one of the most frustrating parts about this team all season long, is that there's some good, but there's just been more bad than good, and inevitably, it just hasn't worked out for this Red Sox team. And what are they, 75 games into the season? And at some point here, I think fans have to start to accept the fact that maybe this team simply, they are exactly what they are. And maybe there'll be this turnaround that I just can't foresee. But as I look at the calls on the call screen, I'll get right to you. You know, it's not a surprise here that, you know, there's a comment on here that says you can't dismantle the Red Sox roster while they're in the wild card race. Well, you know what? That's what the wild card race was designed for. It was designed to keep middling teams and half-assed teams at least alive, to keep their fans excited. Is that really what this team has become and what we've become here in Boston?
Oh, absolutely.
That's not okay with me. Like, that's just, I'm not okay with that.
You're 10 games back, you have no shot at the division at this point.
That's exactly it. You're 10 games behind the Yankees, so the division is out of reach right now. So you are exactly what the wild card was created for. You're a joke. That's what the wild card was created for. It was to suck in half-ass fans of half-ass teams and keep people interested in Major League Baseball in August and September and, yes, into October. And sometimes the wild card teams actually break through, yes, because baseball's a funny sport. So for that reason, you got to sort of take it kind of seriously that you're 2.5 games back. But it feels like they've been hovering between that 2 and 4 games back in that second wild card for the last 2 months now. And just like the 10 games back that the Red Sox are right now from the Yankees, you know, they had an opportunity going into the All-Star break where they win 4 consecutive games. They had momentum on their side. They had a 7-game homestand forthcoming. And what have they done since coming out of that All-Star break? They lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers, and now they've split their first 2 against Toronto. So that 7-game homestand is not going as advertised or as planned. So every time this team has had the opportunity to grab momentum by the balls and actually do something, they've kicked it away. And that has been the fatal flaw, in my opinion, of what this Boston Red Sox team has been for the majority of this season. So it is Sports Radio WEI. It's Red Sox Review. The Red Sox, they lose tonight at home 10-4. Disappointing night. Overall, a disappointing night for Andrew Cashner, who goes 5 innings in his Red Sox debut, allowing 5 earned runs. Let's get to your phone calls here tonight, guys, at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Ken. Ken's in California. Ken, you're first up here on Red Sox Review.
Hey, how you doing, Patrick?
What's up,
sorry, I apologize in advance for the noise because I'm at an Angels game. I'm watching the team that wants to win.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and for $12 a ticket, what's the deal? And watching Georgie Springer and the Astros. Anyway, here's the thing. The thing is, one, it took Alex Cora this long to get a little tone in his voice. Stop coddling these guys. They need a kick in the ass is what they need. A couple other things. One, Porcello, $20 million off the books next year. Okay? Bradley, $9 million. Pedroia, never coming back, $13 million. So let's see. That's 42 so far. Pierce, what is Pierce at? $6 million? 48.
Yep.
Okay? There's 48.
And you got to give Mookie, 40 of it, 30 of it. What number is he going to play for?
Not a chance. You know where he wants? He wants to go play in Atlanta? Let him go play. Let him go play. He's not worth $30 million. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm more with you right there. I've been saying you got to trade this guy for a while now, but I'm not sure the Red Sox and Dave Dombrowski would be willing to do that, Ken.
Well, but you know what? He's batting 70 points below. He's not stealing any bases. Okay, neither is Jackie Bradley. Oh, the wonderful Jackie Bradley, he doesn't get caught stealing bases. Why? Because he doesn't steal any bases. Okay? The guy is a stiff when it comes to at bat. You got a backup catcher that hits 180, and he's the pacifier for Porcello and Sale. Forget that. Okay, so they got about, I'm not sure, is Sandoval's money all off the books?
No, they're still paying Sandoval some money, too. They had to eat a majority of his salary. So there'll be money to spend next year. But again, it's all about where do you want that money to go? And there's a large majority of Red Sox fans that would love nothing more than to see this team extend Mookie Betts and give him $30-plus million a year that he's probably going to command in free agency. So there's that whole aspect of this as well. So will there be major changes to this team next year? The potential is certainly there for there to be major changes, and that's why we've said all season long that the window for this particular core is right now. And that's the hard part about potentially breaking this team up and trading off some of your pieces and trading off a Rick Porcello to a contender and looking to see if there's maybe a team out there interested in JD Martinez, despite the fact that he has had some back problems this year and hasn't been as dominant as he was last year. You know, are there teams out there willing to take these salaries on, take these players on, and in return, give this team a little boost in the ass when it comes to, you know, their farm system, because they're anemic right now in their farm system. So now your Major League roster has got the highest payroll in Major League Baseball, and your farm system is completely anemic. So where do you turn if you're Dombrowski for talent? Where do you turn to replenish and restock this baseball team? Because the sooner that this team accepts the fact that they are what they are and that's simply not very good, the sooner they can get to work on replenishing the talent and getting this team back to where they should be, back to where we're used to them being and accustomed to this team being, especially when they're willing to go out there and spend the kind of money that they're spending. That's the biggest sin in all of this. This team thought that being the Yankees would be the be-all, end-all. You know, when I was growing up, I'm 39 years old, when I was growing up, the Yankees were always the evil empire. And the one thing that people would say about that team was, well, you know, they're not a real baseball team because they buy championships. That was, you know, that made for a decade worth of big shows with Glenn Ordway. The fact that, you know, the Yankees bought their championships and that's not fair. Well, that's what the Red Sox have become. They've become a team that's complacent. They've become a team that is, quite frankly, sometimes lazy when it comes to acquiring talent and breeding their own talent and grooming their own talent, because they know that they print money over there and they can go buy whatever players they want to go buy. And while that has worked, and it's hard to sit here and criticize sort of the game plan that this ownership has had over the years with all of the success that they've had, what's evident throughout that success is that there's many peaks and valleys. The ups and downs are pretty extreme. And right now, what you see with this team is kind of unique. They're not so bad where it's an easy decision to blow this thing up and to trade off those assets. They're not that bad. So you've actually got to think about this decision and think about it long and hard and buy into it when this team decides to go in one direction or the other. My fear is that they're not going to choose a direction because they don't have somebody at the helm. They don't have the type of leader, whether it's Dombrowski, whether it's Cora, that is going to have the stones to stick by his convictions. Meaning, at this point, the worst thing that this team can do is what? Is to stay complacent and to stand pat as they currently are. And my fear is that they're going to tweak around the edges and maybe add some minimal talent here and there like they did with Kasner, right? And that's a nice little acquisition. But that's my fear. They're not going to go after it full bore and try to bring in the type of talent that could potentially salvage this season. They're going to go around the edges and around the pieces with these ancillary pieces and bring in some cheap talent here and hope for the best. That is the worst thing that this team could do. Either go all in, be willing to pay into the luxury tax, spend the money, and acquire some meaningful talent and go all in on this wild card race, or sell these pieces off, play the young guys, and just let the cards fall where they may for this season with minimal expectations at that point. It is Sports Radio WEI. Room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Stick with the calls here. Let's go to Brian. Brian's in Hartford. Brian, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of the New York Mets in 87 after they won the World Series in 86. They couldn't do anything in 87. You're not old enough to remember that, all right?
Oh, I was seven. And strangely enough, yeah. Brian, I remember the Celtics in 86 and the Celtics in 87, but not so much the Mets.
Well, I remember exactly the Mets. They tried to get Tom Seaver to pitch in one year, and he wouldn't do it. But the 87 Mets, I mean, they just couldn't get out of their way. They lost all their pitchers. But like I say, Yastrzemski had another home run tonight for the Giants. He had one yesterday, four hits, and one of the Red Sox fans watch Yastrzemski play in the Giants. Maybe they won't feel as bad about the Red Sox because they're going nowhere. They got to get rid of Mookie Betts.
Well, I mean
the guy's not worth $30 million. He's not worth $20 million.
The problem right now, Brian, is that I agree with you, but because he's having a sort of a down year, especially compared to last year, his trade value is nowhere near what it was 12 months ago.
Yeah, he's only at about 70% right now, you know. But I don't know. He's such a quality person. I think somebody like the Dodgers or maybe the Mets would go for him right now.
It's weird. Here in this city, here in Boston, where we crave these star players and we do everything, right. I think, in our power. And I'm talking about all four of these teams here. You want the star players here. But with Mookie, it's weird. I've got this feeling that Mookie's going to go to the highest bidder. And if that's the case, then the Red Sox, they're not going to be the highest bidder. So why not move on from him right now?
Hey, interesting thing, though. When Yastrzemski went from the Orioles to the Giants, I mean, they gave up a double-A prospect. Weren't the Red Sox kind of interested in him? Because you can always use a good fourth outfielder, right?
They were. There was some interest there, Brian. And ultimately, the Red Sox did not pull the trigger. And maybe it's because their farm system is anemic as it is. But I thought it would have been looked at sort of like a PR move and sort of a tacky, cheesy move. But Yastrzemski can play. Right now, he's up and he's doing things. Two consecutive games with home runs. And it's more than just the name on the back of his jersey. It's, at the time, I'm not sure people thought that he was going to be much more at a major league level than the name on the back of his jersey. And for the Red Sox, the amount of pressure that you put on a player like him to come here and live up to that name here in Boston, that is just an unreal amount of pressure. And I'm not sure that he would have those home runs if he was here in Boston right now. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. Room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Dave. Dave's in West Hartford. Dave, you're next up here on WEEI.
Yeah, earlier people were saying Nathan Eovaldi's coming back. Great. When's Chris Sale coming back? When's Rick Porcello coming back? When? How long will he stay when he comes back? When's Red Sox pitching coming back? I don't know.
Dave, hold on.
I don't know about
you. Think about the money attached to those three guys that you just mentioned, in Rick Porcello, and Chris Sale, and Nathan Eovaldi. Think about all that lost money, all that blown money right now, and how much better this team would be if they allocated money like that to the right guys, the right players at the right time.
Okay, well now, how long do you stick with Sale? That's one question. And there's only one trade deadline. What trade line doesn't exist anymore? What can't teams do?
What do you mean?
Well, I heard that there is only one trade. There used to be two trade deadlines, and now there's only one.
Yeah, so the rules have changed. The non-waiver sort of rules have changed a little bit this year, and we're going to go into a break here. So when I come out of the break, I'll try to explain it the best that I can. There's still going to be some movement after the primary trade deadline, but it won't be like what it was in years past, that is for sure. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is Red Sox Review. The Red Sox, they lose tonight at home at Fenway, 10-4 against the Blue Jays. And again, the question I've got for you guys here tonight is we'll make our way together up until, 2 o'clock this morning. The question really becomes, for Red Sox fans, are you comfortable with this team if they decide to become sellers right now? Because that's what I implore. That's what I am sort of aiming for here. I don't want to watch this team continue to flail around and play inconsistent baseball and hope for the best. Hoping for the best didn't work for the Celtics, and hoping for the best and hoping for change is not going to work for the Boston Red Sox. And you've already heard from their ownership. John Henry already told Brad Foe a couple of weeks ago he is not interested in adding significant money to this team's payroll. So how do you fix it? You don't have the assets or the talent in the minor league. You're not going to spend the money on bringing in big-name players, high-priced players. So the only option that you have, in my opinion, is to start to dismantle this thing and build this thing for the future. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls tonight at 617-779-7937.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
They're 10 games back in the AL East again.
Let me just go on a Glenn Ordway rant here.
There's going to be a fire sale down there.
Oh, no.
It's all about integrity. It's about Wolfpack.
Load them up.
Look, they won last year. And the texter right here says, Gilroy, they won last year. Lay off, right? Yes, they won last. So what? The Celtics won in 2008. So it's like, who cares what happened before? I thought the whole point of sports talk radio was to talk about the here and now. So
we don't want to turn the page, though.
But that's the problem with this team, right? That's exactly the problem, Joe, with this team. From day one, we talked about it back in spring training. The fact that Alex Cora took this team into the season with the wrong mental attitude, with the wrong sort of approach to a new season.
Alex last year Cora.
Yeah, Alex last year Cora. That name's probably not going to stick, Mark, but that's okay. Mark James can do better than that. He has to get a little bit more creative. There's nothing that has a ring to it about that. I mean, it's factually true, but it doesn't have any sort of a ring to it. Mark's got to do better than that. If he's going to be the nickname guy, he can't just blow off half-ass nicknames and think that he's doing his job. He's kind of like the Red Sox there. He's underperforming.
Way to go, Red Sox!
He's supposed to be this great, great guy when it comes to nicknames, and that is a drastic underperformance right there.
He's like, James, yes, I like he's, that he's like.
So, it is Sports Radio WEI. It's Red Sox Review. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. And look, that's part of the problem here. And I've been consistent from day one. What's made me sick about this team all season long is not only the comparison to the Celtics and the fact that both of these teams had so much more talent on their team than their record indicated, but the fact that both of these teams were complacent. The Celtics were complacent all season long, telling us just wait for the postseason, wait for the playoffs. They never had a sense of urgency. They never played that consistent basketball that we had become accustomed to that Celtics team playing. And now with this Red Sox team, it is exactly the same thing. It's always about wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. Eventually, as the Celtics learned, you run out of tomorrows. You know, Cora started saying it today before the game, and God bless him for finally saying it. It took him 75 games to maybe wake the hell up, but saying that this team needs to be better. Yes, they do. That is the understatement of the year, Alex Cora. They need to be better. They need to be more consistent. They need to play with more of a sense of urgency. And most importantly, they need to get better performances from their high-priced stars. I'm sorry. But right now, you are simply not getting nearly enough production from guys like Rick Porcello, guys like Chris Sale. These guys are making buku bucks, and they're simply not doing their job. And if you're going to pay guys like that the kind of money that they're making, and they don't perform, ultimately, your team is going to suffer. Your team is going to fail. And the question becomes, is this team has got a crossroads really coming up for them at this trade deadline? Is it time to reinvest into this baseball team? Is it time to reinvest into the assets you have here and acquire additional assets and go all in on this wild card race? Or is it time to simply accept what you are? And that is a team that has been unable to hold the lead all season long. It's a team that has had fatal flaws all season long, and a team that has been allergic to the idea of playing with any sort of consistency and getting any sort of momentum behind them all season long. So it is Sports Radio WEI. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Dave. Dave's in Florida. David, you next up here on WEI.
Hey.
Hey, David.
I'm going to get you off speaker. Let's talk on my phone.
All right, go for it.
There we go. I'm sorry. There we go. I don't know where to begin. I just don't know where to begin. I mean, I used to think that Henry was just very complacent, but if what some of the other guys in the station were saying, that he gave, that the Red Sox have the highest payroll in baseball. Is that true?
Yeah, they do. Yep.
All right, and then Henry has been more than equitable and reasonable, and then you just have to give Dombrowski an F right from the very beginning too. I mean, even going back to the end of last year, where it's beginning to seem like the player just overachieved last year too, but refusing to sign Kimbrel, and then not going into the off season signing anybody, and assuming that the bullpen would be sufficient. It's deplorable.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you this, David. One of the things that, you know, we haven't really talked about much tonight, but I'm sure we will, is today the Red Sox, they sent Brian Brazier down to Pawtucket, right? And if you go all the way back to November, that's when Dave Dombrowski started talking about Brazier as this team's closer and the faith that he had in Brazier's ability to sort of take over for Kimbrel this year. And today, the evidence is there that he was so wrong. He was so wrong on this guy. And unfortunately, you know, Kimbrel, whether you loved him or hated him, he's a high price guy, and I understand why they didn't bring him back. But not to bring him back and then not to replace him with a legitimate closer, that's where this team's problems really started, and it goes all the way back to last offseason.
And it's their erroneous, misguided belief that they could hit their way out of any deficit. I don't even care in the age of today's juiced baseball. You know, even so, baseball still will always be about pitching fundamentals and granted, a blind man could see that the Red Sox have no commitment to the fundamentals of the game, whether it's base running, whether it's just defensive positioning, whether it's hit and run. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, one of the things that makes Belichick such a great coach, and I know I'm jumping around a bit, is that as anybody in the media and anybody who knows sports, not just football, but sports, will realize is that Belichick makes tremendous adjustments during the game. Do you see? And he puts his players in positions where they'll succeed. He uses his players intelligently. Does Cora use that? Does Cora do that? I mean, if they get rid of Betts, you'll see next year Betts will be a 40-40 player. I mean, how many stolen bases does Betts have right now?
His number's way down right now, David, and he's not nearly the player that he was last year. Now, in defense of Cora, when it comes to Betts, you know, Mookie's been a guy that it's every other year for Mookie when you look at the track record. So this year is the year for him to be down based on what he did last year. That still, it scares me a bit to potentially make him one of the highest paid players in baseball, and that's exactly what he's going to demand on the open market, which is why Mookie's one of the guys that I would seriously consider moving if I were the Boston Red Sox. Now, I am not the Boston Red Sox. I don't get paid to make these moves. But as a fan, sitting as an observer, wondering if this team, when this team is ever going to finally have some sort of consistency, I've come to the determination, come to the conclusion that consistency is simply not going to happen. And if you want to sit here and play the blame game, we could certainly do that, David. That's what, you know, it sounded like you wanted to do. Whether you want to blame Dombrowski, it's weird because, yes, they won a championship last year, right? So it's hard to be too critical of a guy like Cora or a guy like Dombrowski because they just proved last year that what they were doing worked. What they were doing actually was able to get another championship under this ownership's belt. However, when we look at John Farrell won a championship in his first year as well. And within a couple of years, if he didn't get the cancer that he got, you know, he would have been fired much, much sooner than he was. The fact is, the cancer helped him hold on to his job. At what point here does the blame game take a job away? At what point here do you look at a guy like Cora and say maybe he's not the magician that everybody thought that he was? Because ultimately, you've got 80%, 85% of the same team here that you had last year. So at what point do you ask yourself, well, if you get the same guys and you're not getting the same production from those same guys, where's the blame going to fall? Because you've got a couple of choices you can make here as the trade deadline approaches. You can choose to add talent to this team. You can choose John Henry can ultimately go back on what he told Bradfoe, and he can decide to put significant money into this team this year and add to their already extraordinarily high payroll and bring in additional talent and see if he can buy your way out of this situation. So that's plan A. Plan B, of course, is to start to sell off these pieces, whether it's J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, Rick Porcello. Name the veteran player that can go help a truly contending team and see what you can get back in assets for those guys. Or do you shake it up by firing the manager and seeing if there's somebody else that could potentially get through to these guys? Because the fatal flaw of this team, I'm sorry, it starts at their top. And it started back in November. And it started with Dombrowski and his refusal to replace Craig Kimbrell and to put all of his faith in a guy in Brazier that today, 75 games into the season, was demoted to Triple A. That's the guy that your world-class general manager put all of his eggs in his basket. That was the wrong move. And that just continued throughout the offseason and into spring training with zero sense of urgency and all this talk about continuing last year. That doesn't work in any professional sport, and it certainly doesn't work in Major League Baseball. So this is Red Sox Review. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Look, when we come back, we'll flip this thing over to late night. We'll continue with some of our Red Sox conversation, some of your Red Sox phone calls at 617-779-7937. I got to talk about Jerry Callahan when we come back as well. Give a little tribute to my guy Jerry, who I've known for 20 years. And we'll do some Celtics stuff as well, as it's been a few days here since I've been here. And this Celtics team has been picked to win 48 and a half games. 48 and a half games. Seems like a big number. Wow. Can this Celtics team actually be a 50-game winner? We'll talk about that and more with you guys as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning right here on Sports Radio WEI.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.